Good morning and welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Again, everyone, welcome to Grace Break. This is Tracy Worley, and as always, I look forward to Monday, and I hope you are too, for Monday's guest, Quinita Fagan, who I so dearly have gotten to know this morning, goes by Q. Quinita is a longtime business leader and community advocate who leads with passion focused on women in leadership and Christians in the marketplace. Her experience spans 5 industries, several nonprofit organizations, and she is the CEO of the Supernova Advisory Group, whose mission is to empower, equip, and expand the vision and mission of individuals and organizations to be supernovas, and I love this part, thus increasing their impact and influence in a focused and targeted manner. Welcome to the show, Q. So enjoyed our talk this morning and our conversations before this Monday, and welcome to Grace Break.
Thank you, Tracy. I'm so excited to be here and just am looking forward to wherever this this Grace Break takes us. I love your mission as well.
So as we go through, and I left this part of the bio out, I think I pressed a button. Can everybody still hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. I keep hearing I'm pushing buttons with my cheek, and I don't want to hang up here. This is really exciting. In the fall or late of 2013, you were invited to the White House Business Council, and on your website, you even shared sound bites of people that you were able to connect with and talk about small business and what the policy is impacting or not impacting in a positive manner. Can you share with our audience this morning that experience and the opportunity?
Absolutely. So first of all, I have to tell everyone when I received it, it came via email, the invitation, and I thought it was spam at first. I was like, really? Someone's inviting me to the White House, like, really? And after I checked it out, it's legitimate. So the White House created a business council that would be a mobilizing organization for all the business leaders and community advocates across our nation with the sole purpose of being centered around how policy impacts their ability to be effective as those business leaders and community leaders throughout their across the United States. And what I loved about the meeting is that as much as our media tries to polarize all of us into, you know, certain groups or whatever, there was every industry leader, nonprofit, I mean, just different revenue streams, Republican, Democrat, independent, like everyone was who attended were people who had the sole purpose of truly believing that business is a way for us to help increase our country's economic and social impact as it's how it's a global player throughout our world. It was amazing. I can't even say enough how amazing it was. It was all day, and we heard from senior White House officials. And what was very humbling for me is that I wasn't the youngest, but I was the next to youngest person there, and I literally sat there and was just thanking God that whosoever list I got on, I'm just so very thankful that I get to have a voice for my generation and
wow.
Who and what that is. Yeah, it was pretty impactful.
And so often, so I'm going to go back to the original email, you thought it was spam. So often we think that, oh, yeah, this is too good to be true, and we delete it, and we do not recognize the door of opportunity.
Yes,
there.
Yes.
So congratulations for opening the door.
Yes, thank you.
In that process. But I just, as I've gotten to know who you are, what a wonderful opportunity, and thank you for stepping into that door of opportunity and sharing your voice, which I think is great, which brings us to our topic today, bridging faith to the marketplace, which is one of your areas of expertise of people who are bringing their faith and religion into their job in the marketplace and how we're able to bridge that.
Sure.
So that's where we're going to focus today and start talking to us about tools of bridging our faith
sure.
into the marketplace.
Sure. One thing I always start out with is most people in their entire lives have never heard someone say such a phrase. So let me just do a little bit explaining of what we mean by bridging faith to the marketplace. So my honest-to-God autobiography is that I was sitting in the Potter's House School of Ministry with the awesome Bishop T.D. Jakes here in Texas, and I always felt like I was a square peg being driven in a round hole. I knew that I felt a sense of being called because I've been a Christian literally my whole life. As soon as I came out the womb, my grandmother had us in church. So I don't even know anything else, if you know what I mean. And so one thing, I was sitting there in the school of ministry, and I loved the class. I loved the learning. I felt a sense of being called, but I didn't feel like I was in the right place. And I'm sure all your listeners can completely relate is that it's a good thing, but it doesn't feel like it's the right thing. And so I was sitting there, and we got to the book of Ephesians. And I was just in class with about 100 other students, and everything was great. But then we got to Ephesians 4 and 1. So just for a reference point for your listeners, Ephesians 4 and 11 talks, people call that the fivefold ministry. So that's when you're called to be a pastor, an evangelist. You know, people use that scripture a lot to describe what the call is to lead a church. And I knew about that. I was good. But for some reason, my whole life totally oblivious to Ephesians 4 and 1. So it's Paul writing to the people at Ephesus, and he says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, and this is the King James Version, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I, for some reason, and I don't even know if that makes sense to your listeners, but that to me was like a ding-dong. I just felt that so strongly that one scripture changed the whole trajectory of what I knew that God was calling me to. I felt such a strong sense because I was one of the people out in the marketplace. At that time, I was an executive at an oil and gas company, and I was struggling in my leadership because I was seeing certain things, and I knew there were other Christians who were constantly coming to my office to get that advice on how they can deal with workplace issues such as, oh, my boss has it out for me, how will I ever get promoted? Those are real-world things that happen out in the marketplace, and as much as, you know, I'm sure we all as Christians pray, what's the next step, though, beyond getting a scripture you stand on in prayer? The next thing, and this is what we call bridging faith to the marketplace, is how does that turn into what you do and how you execute out in the marketplace? And so, you know, we all are faith and believers that, you know, God's grace and mercy, grace and courage, I'm using Grace Breaks Mission, with us out in the marketplace. But again, how does that look when you start tangibly walking that out? And so so what our goal is that we are the helpers that help you figure out and strategize. So by the time I was leaving the oil and gas company to open my own firm, the Supernova Advisory Group, my office had become just an office, a safe haven, a place, and it was almost to the point where I wasn't getting regular work done because so many Christians throughout the organization were always coming to me, and I was just like, okay, wait a minute. This is getting a little much, but I realized that there's so many people out in the marketplace that really need that tangible help once they leave the church, once they get out the Monday through Friday or whatever your work schedule is, what does that look like? So some tools that we use are, if you recall the scripture that talks in John, that talks about you will prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. Your soul is made up of your mind, will, and emotion. So you can have a Christian who's been a Christian, say, their whole life, but they're not getting those results when it comes to how they live out their career, their leadership, or if they're like a volunteer, whatever their impact is. And so what I mean by that, again, the soul is your mind, will, and emotions. So you can have unhealed emotions, whereas in your leadership of your organization, your emotions are scattered all over the place, and that can really impact you getting the results of getting of being a Christian that is a vessel of fairness, of equity, of, you know, key insight that helps your company innovate. All those things are really critical to you being the whole person that God has called you to be out in the marketplace. So I know that's a mouthful. I hope everyone followed that. I was like, but that's really where our mission of bridging faith to the marketplace comes in. And so those tools are tools that are the latest research on different industries, the latest information on how you can heal your mind, will, or emotions, because a steady mind impacts your will that impacts your emotions to go after that, those big goals. And, Tracy, one of the things that I laugh with when I'm consulting with a potential client, I laugh about is that what we don't do is that if your goal is just from getting to from point A to point B, that's not really what we do, because that means that that's something that you can achieve in 30 days per se. What we do is you're at point A and you're trying to get to point G. So it's the mentality of thinking not like checkers, but thinking like chess. Like the strategy behind it, how you go about, again, that execution. So it's the guy who is a cab driver one day, but he's going to night school. Again, we would strategize this, but he's going to night school to get his degree because he knows that one day he wants to be a manager in biomedical, which is a huge industry right now, a biomedical field or something like that. Like that's what the type of thing that we would strategize in. So that means that in chess, you don't win a chess game unless your opponent is super horrible, but you don't win a chess game in 5 minutes. That's normally, because I've seen people sit for a chess game for literally 8 hours. Like, it's insane. And so so we help you strategize again, with the thought that at the end of the day, the goal is that you live out that Ephesians 4:1 scripture, that you walk worthy of the vocation. And walking worthy in our interpretation is in excellence. And you're the best. You're dominating your industry. You're not looking at this as I'm just on this earth to earn a paycheck and just, you know, you're literally a vessel of God, that you're out there, and by you being the best at what you do, it will cause people to say, what's your secret? And then it can lead into how you're able to share your Christian values and how, you know, your faith is what helps you do what you do.
And I love that part. It weaves right into a different way of talking and thinking about it, because when we're walking in our authentic self and our purpose and our gifts that God has given us, you know, people look at you and say, I want to have what you're having. And it all comes down to doing the daily work that most people are not willing to do.
Right. And, Tracy, I would say it's slightly different. You're absolutely correct, but I'm just going to play up on what you just said. I think that when our faith went through the era of preaching the prosperity message, I'm not here to negate that, but I think where that the catch-22, if you will, of the prosperity message is that truly understand that there, God wants us to be blessed. And again, in that whole sense, so emotionally, spiritually, mentally, you know, financially and all that, but the catch-22 of that is that a lot of times you have to walk that out. So, and that can take time. And so if you're like someone who, like, let's just say you had a very abusive past and you don't trust men, and this is a real world, you don't trust men, well, guess what? When you're aspiring to be a an impactful leader of, let's say, your company, or let's say you own your own company, well, if you're not healed in that, using the word and walking that out, you could have a certain bias towards men when you get out to the marketplace. And that's not what we're called to. We're called to see people and help match up their giftings, which helps, you know, whatever mission that God has called us to. So I'm just using it as like a loose example, but those things really matter when it comes to how much you're able to be impactful. Because you can't be impactful if, you know, you're not known as a good, equitable leader. And I think in these days and times, we're hurting for people who are, you know, leaders that will create and build up other leaders. And thus, using Luke 2:52, where it says that Jesus was in favor with God and with man, because he was elevated. So people saw it even in our best example, Jesus Christ, and that mm-hmm. if you look at it, he was very equitable and very gracious towards all men. And that's exactly, and I don't mean literally man, but all men meaning the human race.
And this brings grace and mercy to ourselves, because to heal, it looks like we have lost Q. I see that the caller has dropped, so we'll wait for her to come back in. And I'm just going to finish that thought process. For us to be able to be strong leaders, we need to also be mindful of our emotional hurts and any baggage or trust issues or challenges that we may have. Regine. Q is back online. There you are. We just ran on without you. But
okay. So is all that making sense though, Tracy? Like I'm saying regarding the call? Okay, perfect, perfect.
Yeah. It just thinking about it and the strategy behind healing. Because we don't want, especially to be strong leaders and to give others the leg up and to build other leaders, we have to lay our ego aside and,
absolutely.
You know, the flesh, we want it to be all about us, but we have to be able to leave that ego piece behind as well. And
right.
So what tools do you use to mold bridging that piece and leaving the ego behind to help others move forward?
Sure.
Coaching other leaders.
Sure. So I joke with someone that I have been volunteering or leading something since the age of 14, and I completely don't mind telling people I'm 39 right now, so that's 25 years, and I promise you it's been littered repeatedly with failure. And I don't mean failure as a bad thing. I just mean failure as, oh my gosh, like, how do I do this? Because one of the things I always tell people is that don't look at leadership in a vacuum. Like, when you, whether you're on Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook, leadership is not about this one size fits all. It can fit nice and cozy in a box. Every time I've approached any position, whether it was, again, for a board, for the organization I was a leader of, or a volunteer campaign, I mean, no matter what it was, they have all had different variables, which included different people, different generations, different missions, different goals, and different resources. So the next time you hear someone make leadership into, well, if you just follow these three things, you'll be successful, that's your first sign that they don't have real-world leadership experience. Because every time you go into a leadership role, here are some suggestions to answer Tracy's questions to think about. They always talk about that that when you're stepping into a new position of leadership, give it 90 days before you come out swinging, making decisions. I can't overemphasize that enough. That 90 days is critical. Even if they're your superiors are telling you, well, we need to know what your goals are and what you plan on doing, it, you still say, I will get right back to you, but let me get all my ducks in a row, or however you want to say it, and I'll get right back to you with a plan to execute. And so in that 90 days, here's the things that you want to consider and really get a sense of what your resources are. And when I say resources, I mean on the people side, financially, and even if there's other departments where you can borrow time or equipment or an application, some type of, like, I'm trying to think how to say this, like if there's some type of system that your company has, figure out what your resources are as soon as possible. And then once you figure out what your resources are, the next thing is to bump that up against, now, what are my superiors? What is their most highest priority goals and what they want this organization, this unit, this nonprofit, what is the board or your superiors' leadership team, what is their highest priorities and what they want to achieve? And even if you were given a laundry list either during the interview process or whatever, you still break that down to the most top three key priorities. Because the goal is that don't come in promising that you can handle 20 things of the unit. Because I have been one of the things that I've been called in many times is to do turnarounds. Either turnarounds or develop something or create something that has been broken. That has been littered all throughout my career. And so I think as our times continue where there will be limited resources and limited people or what have you, I think it becomes that much more important to really hone in on what is my resources and then how does that those resources match up or don't match up compared to what are the most key priorities for us to accomplish. And then that becomes a part of the game plan that you then show your superior and say, can I get your agreement that this makes sense to you from the standpoint of, consider from what I heard from you are your top three things that you want to get accomplished. And what I found is that that's either going to be a, yes, that makes perfect sense, or you could be totally off target, and that's okay. But this is like very key and tangible ways in which you can go into a new leadership position knowing that this is not cookie cutter, and even if you were successful in leadership in some prior engagement, that doesn't mean that you can do those exact same things in this new engagement because, again, the variables are different.
That's awesome. You're like taking notes. This is brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, I'm trying to like boil this down as in succinct, like something that you can chew on or bite on. Because I could go all day on this. I love this.
Right. And as we're thinking about being leaders in our own organizations or outside and helping other organizations excel and bridging that. And I talk about values. And when we're working for another organization, we have to borrow their values because that's where their mindset is. But we have to be really aware of who we are and not leave those in the car before we walk into that building. Does that make sense?
Hey, absolutely. One thing I would tell you, Tracy, is that sometimes you have to be very mindful of what we mean when we say values. because I think that I use it and you just use it, but I think that values mean something very different to different people. So regarding your question regarding the market, or I'm sorry, in the organization or the company, I have yet to see any company that says one of our values is that we're going to encourage fraud. Normally, their values are those that they all borrow them from each other, and they're poster children. They sound good and all that, and that's great. So when I say values, I think that we, most of us can say that, oh, okay, one of our company values is that we want to act in integrity regarding how we gather our financial statements that we issue to the SEC to gain public trust that our company is one to do business with. And I'm just rolling like as an example, right? So we can all agree that, oh, okay, that's great. But if you were to ask every person or employee out of the 500-person organization what that statement means, you would get 500 responses in what that looks like in their everyday life, whether they're the accounts payable clerk, whether they're the vice president of operations, whether they're the field hand that is a supervisor in the field. So what I tell people regarding your statement about, you know, maintaining your authenticity in the workplace is that those company values, that's one set of values that you would deal with, but what that looks like when you go into doing literally your job and what you do, how you interpret that in bridging your faith to the marketplace is that your mindset should be, I want to be the best, let's just say you're an accountant, an operations accountant. You want to be the best operations accountant that you can be, and living in the integrity of what you do for that organization. And so what comes with that, though, is that you're going to be the most trained. You're going to be the one that always is volunteering. I wrote an article for Professional Women's Magazine, and this is some of the stuff that I, in a tangible way that I covered, is that organizations are very keen on employees who do not come with constant complaints, but they're always solution-minded. So as mm-hmm. the operations accountant, even if the company has, like, say, one of the you work for oil and gas, and one of the pipelines, had an issue, and y'all are not sure how you're going to capture, you know, the revenue for the month, you be the one to volunteer to say, hey, I will go out there and be part of the team that figures this out. Just give us about a day or two. And I am amazed at what that one thing, like always being the person that says, I will be the person that gets in the fire to help try to figure this out. And if you're, and if you recall in Isaiah, it talks about how God's people are meant to go to the fire, not run away from it. Like, we're supposed to be the solution, if you think of it that way, or part of the solution, I'll say it that way. And that will cause you to increase in stature in your organization, no matter what you do, and not always be the person that wants it to be nice and cozy and things always perfect. No, be the one that goes to the fire and pray about it, ask for God's wisdom and grace to figure out how to create the solution. And I promise you, you will be set apart from all your peers, no matter if you guys do the exact same thing. And that's an example of it. Putting your faith into action and maintaining your authenticity. It's the excellence behind it that, again, relating to Ephesians 4 and 1 that I'm referring to.
Excellent. And we talked about before, you know, dream big, challenge our current belief. That, you know, we were able to touch on that. Our 30 minutes always goes by way too fast because I would love to hear from you more. Thank you so much for calling in. Our listeners, what's the website they can find you at, Q?
Okay, we're the Supernova Advisory Group, and the play on our name is the Super Group. So our website is www.thesupa group, and it's all one word, the Super Group. So I'll say it one more time, thesupa group.com. And we always have resources that helps you be excellent. Besides our in-house, we have partnerships with Tony Robbins. They're coming to Dallas, and we're going to have a partnership for his his UPW, the Unlimited Power, that really breaks down and gets you to that place of explosive breakthrough. So we not only look at ourselves as being like subject matter experts in what we do, but we also partner with, we have over 100 partnerships where we match up whatever resource will help you get the results that you need so that you can be that much more, again, impactful. Tracy, you like that word, impactful, in your organization and in your community.
Excellent. Again, Q, thank you so much for calling in today.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Great break.
Happy to be here,
Grace
Tracy.
Break. Oh, sorry. I'm talking over you. Everyone can go to also gracebreak.com. We'll have Q's information there as well. And look up and at, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.